You see, Jesus is not just our host at the table of communion, but he should be a guest at every table, at every meal, and at every home where we call him Lord and Savior. For we live always and everywhere in a world filled with Christ.
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Emmaus is 7 miles west of Jerusalem, a little less than what it would take you to get to Warren this morning if you were on your way to Emmaus. Have you got an Emmaus road that you walk when you're having difficulty and that you walk off your trouble and think about your troubles? Because we all have a road that we walk. We all have a road that we walk on a daily basis. And fortunately for us, Jesus comes alongside of us on that road and walks with us, even though we don't realize he's there sometimes. But he hears us, he consoles us, he challenges us, and he encourages us to keep moving forward, to persevere because of what he's done in each of our lives. So this morning we're going to talk about Cleopas and his friend as they had an encounter with Jesus in those hours just after resurrection. And so I pray that you'll be ready to worship this morning, and we gather together as the community of faith together this day.
Today's scripture lesson comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Therefore, your minds must be clear and ready for action. Place your confidence completely in what God's kindness will bring you when Jesus Christ appears again. Because you are children who obey God, don't live the kind of lives you once lived. Once you lived to satisfy your desires because you didn't know any better. But because the God who called you is holy, you must be holy in every aspect of your life. Scripture says, "Be holy because I am holy." So if you call God your Father, live your time as temporary residents on earth in fear. He is the God who judges all people by what they have done, and he doesn't play favorites. Realize that you weren't set free from the worthless life handed down to you from your ancestors by a payment of silver or gold, which can be destroyed. Rather, the payment that freed you was the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb with no defects or imperfections. He is the Lamb who was known long ago before the world existed, but for your good, he became publicly known in the last period of time. Through him, you believe in God who brought Christ back to life and gave him glory. So your faith and confidence are in God. Love each other with the warm love that comes from the heart. After all, you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. As a result, you have a sincere love for each other. You have been born again, not from a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting word that can't be destroyed. That's why scripture says, all people are like grass, and all their beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass dries up and the flower drops off, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. This word is the good news that was told to you.
Hours after the sunrise on the resurrection day, two men from Emmaus walked and talked along their way. When all of a sudden from out of nowhere came one man who seemed so wise, hoping of
You know, it's nice when you have music staff that you can work with and that work in cooperation with you, and you walk in and you don't even have to ask them what you're going to sing, and you look down and you go, hey, they're in sync this morning. That was cool. It's always amazing when that happens, and I always give thanks and praise. This scripture that I'm about to read, I could do it, give it to you without reading it and give it to you in my language, but I'm going to read it to you anyway just so I don't leave out any details. One of the post-resurrection stories that Luke writes about Jesus' appearance to Cleopas and his friend as they're walking back to Emmaus, one of those that's listed out in detail. It's sort of alluded to in Mark, but that's the only other place that it's mentioned in Scripture. Now, on that same day, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find Jesus' body there, they came back and told us that they were indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Now he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe that all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God. Well, I want to share with you some observations this morning about walking our road to Emmaus, if you will. The men, Cleopas and his friend, were walking toward a sunset, which perhaps explains why they didn't recognize Jesus. If you ever walked into a sunset, you can't see a darn thing. It just blinds you at that point. But they were probably as blinded by the sunset as they were the experiences that they had had and the disappointment that they had over Jesus' events of those days. And as Christians, we need to remember not necessarily to walk into the sunset, but to be walking into the sunlight. Because the sunset reminds us that the day is over and that day's troubles are over and that the sunrise brings to us a new day, a new opportunity to start over, a new opportunity to begin again. The sunset reminds us of what has happened that day. And so those disciples were walking into the sunset, disappointed in grief and shock, unsure of what was going to happen next in their lives. Now, we're fortunate that one of the things that Jesus does for us is he makes sense out of things. As we think about walking into the sunrise, we're aware that Jesus was there with them. For Cleopas and his friend, the whole crucifixion, death, and resurrection seemed to make no sense. They had heard about it. Jesus had told them about it. But all of their hopes and dreams were shattered in what could have been or what might have been. For You know, they were hoping that this would be the one who was going to straighten things out and make things right in Israel, and that things would be all right. Because you remember, they were expecting a king. They were expecting someone who was going to come in and straighten out the rotten government in Jerusalem and in all of Israel, and things would be right again. Now, you go back to the Old Testament, and everywhere you go through the Old Testament, they're constantly wanting a king. And they get a king that they want, and things go all right for a while, and then things go off track for a while, and then we get another king, and things get better again, and then things go off track. It just kind of reminds you of another government, I think, does it not? Sound a little bit like us, maybe? Just a little? No conversation about present company. I'm not going there this morning. But as Jesus, however, began to walk with them, he began to make some dent in their darkness. He began to talk to them. Now, they didn't fully realize, because again, they don't see, they don't realize that Jesus is right there with them. They don't recognize him. But then things eventually become clear, especially when he talks to them and shares with them from his heart and from the scriptures, even though they don't fully yet understand. And as they walk along, and they reach Emmaus, he appears to go in another direction. He doesn't intend to press his way to them or on them for the rest of the evening, but they invite him to come in and join them for dinner. It's not a casual invitation, because they don't just say, oh, why don't you come to dinner? No, I'm going to go on my own. No, you come to dinner with us. It's nearly the end of the day. It's almost evening. Surely you've got to be tired. Come in and have dinner with us. And it's a reminder to us of the courtesy of Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't force his way on any of us, does he? He says, I'm here. I would like for you to be a part of my, have me be a part of your life, but that's your choice. That's our free will. Jesus doesn't take our arm behind our back and say, you got to take me for your own. He said, it's your choice. It's your option whether you take me or not. And so his plan was to go on ahead and leave them there at Emmaus and go on about their business. And he waited for their invitation as he waits for us. There's a wonderful picture, the Salmon series of pictures that have been out for years and years and years. And I think there's probably not a church in the United States that probably doesn't have a Salmon print in their midst. One of Jesus, the portrait of Jesus, one of him standing at the door. There's no doorknob on that door. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. In Revelation, we hear the words, behold, I stand at the door and knocking. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me. See, God, as I said, gave us the greatest free gift, not only of himself and the grace of him, but he gave us the free gift of free will. He gave us free choice. It's up to us to decide what we want to do with our lives and how we want to live our lives. And we can choose to live our lives with Jesus in it, or we can choose to live our lives without Jesus in the presence of it. That's perfectly up to us. And sometimes we choose midstream. We say, yeah, I'll take him with me. Sure, fine. And then when it gets tough and we don't want to live quite the way he wants us to, we say, well, I'm going to do this my way. You go over there and stand in the back corner. I'll pick you up on the way back by when I'm ready to have you come along with me. But I'm going to run the show for a while. And what happens when that happens? Usually gets pretty messy while we're trying to run the show. And hopefully we learn every time we drop him in the corner and then come back and pick him up that we really ought not to drop him in the corner. We ought to leave him with us, keep him with us all the time. Because things turn out a whole lot better. But again, that's our free choice, our free will to do as we wish. But then some amazing things happened as he went in to eat with them. Jesus gathered at the table with the disciples. Have you ever noticed how someone you know does something a certain way all the time without fail? They do it the exact same way. And if they do it differently, it's kind of odd, isn't it? One thing I remember about my mother, she had this thing about bread. We'd have to sit down to dinner, and she'd say, can I have a piece of bread? And we'd say, sure. We'd hand her the plate. And she would take the top piece of bread, flip it over, and take the second one down. I said, what's wrong with the top one? I don't know. I just want the second one down. Whatever. Guess the germs had gotten to the top piece after we set it out on the table. I don't know. But that's her deal. But anyway, These men must have been present at the feeding of the 5,000, probably had been gathered in other rooms, other places, perhaps a village in Galilee where Jesus was eating, and they were feasting together at the table, and they had seen him break bread in that characteristic way that he did. And so they're sitting at the table. Now they've been walking, and he's been talking to them about Moses and about Joshua and about Jeremiah and Isaiah and all those people from the Old Testament. They've been listening, but it takes seeing him break that bread in that characteristic way that it dawns on them, oh my goodness, this isn't just some ordinary casual visitor that's been walking with us. This is the resurrected Christ. And it took that breaking of the bread for them to see, for their eyes to be opened and to realize that they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt that same presence? Have you ever felt the presence of Christ at the communion table? I hope so. Have you ever felt the presence of Christ at a table of intimate friends when you've been sharing and felt like Christ was sitting right there in your midst? I hope so. You see, Jesus is not just our host at the table of communion, but he should be a guest at every table, at every meal, and at every home where we call him Lord and Savior. For we live always and everywhere in a world filled with Christ. We may not always live that way, but he is always there. The question is, do we sense his presence around us? Well, Cleopas and his friend couldn't wait to share their experience with others. They could have stayed in Emmaus and just sat there and waited, but they couldn't contain themselves. Would you be able to contain yourself if you'd have been at that dinner party? I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have. Wouldn't have mattered if it was 8 or 9 o'clock. It wouldn't have mattered if I had to run 7 miles back to Emmaus, even if I'd have been choking on the way back, getting there. I'd have wanted to gotten back to Jerusalem and found our friends and said, hey, do you know what happened to us tonight, today? And then to hear the other stories of appearances that the others had encountered and experienced as well. You see, we sometimes share a common memory. We joke in Emmaus about the fact that when we get together, we sometimes do what some will refer to as the secret seal slap. Boom, 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 boom on the back of somebody who's been on an Emmaus weekend. Because we're so glad to see one. Because we've all been together for 72 hours and we come to love each other pretty much. We know all kinds of things about one another that you wouldn't know about your next neighbor if you weren't on a walk. And we just, you know, we're just kind of crazy when we get done. But the important part of that, though, is that we have shared an experience of having been in the presence of Christ in those 72 hours. Hopefully, you have had an experience in your life where you have shared an encounter with Christ in your own life with someone else, and you remember that. Perhaps it was at church camp. Perhaps it was here in this space of worship at some point or another. But you can look at somebody else and say, I remember when the Spirit of God was very present. Maybe it was a lay witness mission. Maybe it was a worship service. But you know that you had an encounter with Jesus, the risen, resurrected Christ. And we share those experiences with a great fellowship of people who share a common experience and a common memory of Jesus Christ. For you see, each day we walk and Emmaus Road. It may be here in Van Buren, it may be in Marion, it may be who knows where. But we walk a road and we have encounters with Jesus, we have experiences with people, and we must share the encounter of Jesus Christ in our life, because it's not our experience until we share it. It's just an experience, but it becomes a shared experience when we share it with other people. So I invite you to always be in an have an opportunity to share how Christ has changed your life as you walk the road to Emmaus, as you walk the road to Van Buren or wherever it is, but make it a shared experience that you can make a memory with someone else about what God is doing, not what God is doing, and what God has done in your life, that they may have an encounter as well, and their eyes may be opened as well to see Jesus Christ for themselves. Amen. Thank you. with a song in your heart this week and share your love of God with each person that you know this week. Go in peace, my friends. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.